We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the John Chukwurah Show, coming to you live here on a Tuesday night. Well, tomorrow night, 7:30, State Farm Arena is the place to be as AEW will make its inaugural visit here to Atlanta. You can go to AEWtix.com. You can still pick up tickets that are left there, but definitely want to be part of that show. And here to talk about a lot of things going on with this new wrestling promotion, we go out to the WadeFord.com hotline. He's one of the EVPs for All Elite Wrestling. He's going to be facing Wardlow in a cage coming up tomorrow night. Of course, the pride of Lassiter High School here in the Metro Atlanta area. Two-time state champion in wrestling. And, of course, the son of the American Dream. Ain't no hard time. Times here, baby. Out on the WadeFord.com hotline, Cody Rhodes joins us. You can follow Cody on Twitter at Cody Rhodes. Cody, first, appreciate the time. Thanks for jumping on with me. And secondly, I do the worst impression of your father of all time, so I promise I won't make your ears bleed anymore with that.
It wasn't bad. I would say 6 out of 10. I've heard much worse. Maybe even 6.5. I know I'm talking local when you mention Lassiter High School too, so that's always a nice little Easter egg. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, obviously a lot of ties here to Atlanta. You know, one of the guys that that you work with, Tony Schiavone, you probably know that he does some work here at our radio station. And I remember talking to him when he accepted the position with AEW. And I said, Tony, you know, you've been out of it for so long and you've sworn up and down that you were never going to get back into all of this. What is it about, you know, getting into AEW? And he said, as soon as I talked to Tony Khan, I was sold and I wanted to be a part of it. Peel back the onion a little bit, Cody. Tell me a little bit about Tony Khan. Why is it that guys have so much trust and faith that this thing can work and he's the right guy to lead it?
Well, I think Tony doesn't instill any bit of, like, ownership over you, if that makes any sense, which is so ironic because he, you know, is part of a family that owns a NFL team and he owns Fulham in the United Kingdom, so a football club as well. He deals a lot with, you know, commodities and individuals, but when you meet the actual man and you understand he just wants to make a great wrestling show featuring great wrestling personalities from our correspondents, our broadcast, to all, you know, of course, the wrestlers in the ring, to the referees, to the production. He has assembled really a kind of a rebel alliance type dream team where Tony Schiavone fit in just fine. I don't think Tony Schiavone realized until he talked to Tony Khan, until he talked to the EVPs, how much our generation loves Tony Schiavone. And for him to be able to really jump in, sink his teeth in the way he has with AEW and with Dynamite, very special to see.
You know, Cody, it's funny because I've heard so much about Tony Khan that he's such a kind of a wrestling fan, a wrestling historian. Jim Ross has talked about on his podcast about he seems to remember more things than anybody that he knows. And when you watch the production and the program, it's awesome the way that you guys have embraced kind of an old school feeling and, you know, some of the old territorial days. I mean, how much of a conscious effort is it to have this organization embrace the past and embrace the greatness of wrestling all through the country?
Well, I think a lot of, like, wrestling schools and, you know, the legends and luminaries, they use this line when it comes to teaching wrestling. You'll hear them say all the time, what's old is new. And you don't really know what's old is new means until you, you know, take a little and you steal a little from that territory bag and you steal a little from the 1980s wrestling, even early 90s. But not just that, there's a sports presentation there's been a void for in wrestling, and I'm not sure really when it went and why it went, but just the concept of the big match or the big fights and the stakes in between and having to wait, and there's this really concentrated, I guess it's called old school, but to me it's just the correct way to do things. And as far as, like, I'm concerned with AEW, there's a conscious effort for me because that's what I'm supposed to bring to the table. If Matt and Nick bring PWG style unbelievable athleticism in these tag team contests. If Kenny Omega brings a little flavor from Japan and strong style, then I'm bringing, you know, Southern style wrestling is the best way to put it. And I look at that very fondly. I look at that very seriously. I consider it an unbelievable story form and a vessel to tell stories. And I've seen it done here at AEW already. And of course, in the past with, you know, the type of places we're kind of stealing from, but it's a very conscious effort on my part.
EVP for All Elite Wrestling, Cody Rose, joining us here on the WaitFor.com hotline. You go to AEWTix.com. Tomorrow night, 7:30, State Farm Arena, AEW will be putting on their weekly Dynamite show. When you have a organization starting off new, I'm curious, you know, what is it about? Is it about building the brand of AEW first? Is it about building superstars that help build the brand? Kind of what's the game plan, the blueprint for how you grow this thing?
I mean, the only way this works, you know, and I'm so happy we've got the extension with TNT. I'm so happy to know that, you know, across Turner Networks and the Warner Media arm, we've reached 37 million people. I mean, it really validates what we've been saying about this audience. But the only way it continues and the party keeps going is the new talent and the talent in general. They have to resonate with the audience. People have to come to the show and want to see somebody. You know, I want to see her. I want to see him. I want to buy that shirt. I want to cheer against this person or cheer for this person to get beat up. There has to be a reason. 2020, asking for people's money and asking them to suspend their disbelief, asking for their attention at all is difficult enough. So we have to be absolutely the best possible pro wrestling show we can be. But for that to work and the party to go on, the characters on the show have to resonate with the audience. And that's really fun to watch data-wise. When you see young women 18 to 49 will tune in more for Jungle Boy Jack Perry, that's what I'm talking about, that type of connection. And we really want to cultivate that and grow that in an honest way.
Cody, your wife obviously helping head up the talent division for the women. You know, as a guy who's a lifer in wrestling, I mean, how amazing has it been just even like in the last 5 years to watch the massive popularity and growth of women's wrestling across all of the United States? I mean, it's really been a phenomenon these last few years.
Yeah, it's really been a phenomenon, and it's not I think people for some time thought like it was a gimmick. You know, oh, well, there's a gimmick to this. And there is no gimmick to women's wrestling. They're competing at the same level that the men are. And, like, if we take last week's Dynamite, for example, they competed at a higher level with what Riho and Nyla Rose were able to do. Women's wrestling is incredibly real, if that makes any sense. It's not just a gimmick anymore. It's not just a kind of a novelty. Or as you know, people used to tell you, and when I was breaking in, they said you know, the divas and the women were a garnish. And they would say that out loud in these meetings to some of these women who are still involved in the business. That's not the case at all. I think it just makes great competition. Who's the best wrestler on your show? It doesn't necessarily have to be a man. And I'm glad to see it staying around, and I'm glad to see it building its own audience, an audience that particularly just wants to see what the women have up that night, you know, and that's cool.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the John Chukwa Show coming to you live on the WaitFor.com hotline. One of the EVPs for All Elite Wrestling is going to be in a cage tomorrow night versus Wardlow. Cody Rhodes joining us here. Don't forget AEWTix.com. Get your tickets for tomorrow night, State Farm Arena, 7:30 as Dynamite invades. You know, when you talk about the popularity of wrestlers and in building stars and things like that, you know, one of the things I love about wrestling right now is how many second-generation wrestlers we're seeing, both men and women. How important do you think that lineage is and that second generation is to drawing fans? You know, even guys like myself, they're a little bit older, bringing them more along for the ride to see, oh, yeah, I remember, you know, their father, their mother, whatever out there. It just seems like such an important element in today's world.
Yeah, I think it's a natural way for people to plug in. They naturally will plug in to someone, you know, if they have a familiar last name. But there's a whole challenge that's presented when you're a second or third generation. The door is easily open for you, and you're almost always welcome. You almost become a lifer instantly unless you really screw up. But then for you to succeed, and in some cases succeed on the level that your, you know, predecessor, your parent might have succeeded on, is incredibly difficult. I mean, I'm 34. I never mind talking about my dad. I never mind questions about my dad, nothing like that. But I still chase that ghost, and I'm 34. I've been doing this since I was 15. That's how big of a legacy he laid. You just look at Simone, you look at Rock's daughter who just stepped in. She's going to face the greatest challenge perhaps of any second generation of all time. You look at what Charlotte Flair is doing. But those are cases where people were actually successful. There's a lot of times where a second and third generation, I'd say, you know, three out of five do not work out so well. But the two that do, really, they really carve their own niche. That's what you have to do. You can't do what, in my case, I can't do what Dusty did. If I do that, it's just that I'm playing tribute songs. I'm not making any of my own music. And that's hard. It's real easy to do the other thing, but it's a lot more fun to try and strike out on your own.
Cody, speaking of family, last year you had the match of the year in North America with your brother, Dustin. How much fun has it been to kind of reconnect with him? Obviously, he's doing, my understanding is, you know, not just on screen, but some behind the scenes stuff as well. How much fun has it been to kind of reconnect with Dustin and be able to compete with and just pick his brain and just have that family element around with you?
Well, I mean, it's something that, like, you know, if you have a brother or sister, it's not somebody, like, you're not always best friends. You know, sometimes you fight, sometimes you're different and you're forced to be around each other. In this case, it's really serendipitous. It's really special that Dustin came into AEW when he did, because I do really need him. I need him more behind the scenes than people probably think, because this is a lot of responsibility to hand me, and I'm gladly taking it. It's a challenge I accept. But to have somebody like that in my inner circle, no pun intended, is really great. I mean, that's my actual brother. So that's a special, special thing to have, my actual brother with me. So I'm very glad for him, because he's also able to write a new chapter in his book. You look at some of the legends and the older wrestlers and the veterans we have, we're not asking them to be 21 again. We're asking them to be 50 years old, to bring all that experience with them and to help share it with this new class, and see if this new class can hang with you and bring them up and then bring you up. It's special. Same with somebody like Jim Ross. Not asking Jim Ross to scream and yell like he did in the Attitude Era, or to be a sports analytical type like he was in the early 90s. We're asking him to be who he is now. Write a new chapter in your book. And I think that's really the best way to honor the legends, by not trying to make them 21 again. Let them be who they are, and that experience will show on the TV show.
EVP for All Elite Wrestling, Cody Rhodes, joining us here on the WaitFor.com hotline. AEWTix.com is the place to get tickets for the show tomorrow night, 7:30 at State Farm Arena. Am I correct, your match against Wardlow, is that going to be the first time that AEW has done a cage match? Am I correct in that?
Yeah, it is. That is correct. I'm actually, I don't know if you can hear behind me the drilling and the rivets of it. I'm staring at it right now. It's a legitimately ominous structure here that is hung beneath that massive scoreboard in State Farm with the Hawks logo kind of barreling down on the ring. Really unique.
And no, there's no escape in the cage to victory. This is submission or pinfall, as I understand too, right?
Yeah. I'd say, again, kind of circling back, old school rules. You don't get any points for escaping the cage. The cage is there to keep others out, keep us locked in, and pinfall, submission, no escape.
How great has it been to kind of have Arn Anderson coaching you and kind of being there by your side and helping kind of guide you through all this?
You know, he's a prime example. I was talking about, we don't want Arn to be what he used to be. We want Arn to be what he is now. And, you know, when I came to WWE in 2007, he was like a huge part of my upbringing. He was very hard on me and really helped me in a lot of cases with the negative reinforcement and the positive reinforcement. He truly was a coach. So for him to come to AEW, be the coach, and kind of enter a new realm with the fans with me is special. I don't get to take my dad along the ride here. You know, he's not with us anymore. If I can take some of his friends along for the ride, I will. And Arn is one of those friends. I don't know how they became friends after so many years of beating each other up. I guess that's what happened. But yeah, that's I don't tell Lauren that. But that's one, you know, when I look at these guys sometimes, that's how I feel. Like, if I could take this guy with me, you know, I would, but instead I'm going to take these guys, you know, and I think it's fun. It grounds me back to where I'm from. You know, you get in these bubbles in wrestling. You're in a WWE bubble. You're in an AEW bubble. You're in a New Japan bubble. I don't want to ever be in a bubble. I'm a wrestler, you know, first and foremost. I want to be in my own little bubble, you know, and they get to be part of it. I mean, Arn, my wife, them all out there, it's really special.
Cody, last thing for you. You know, some old school guys, though, the Jim Cornettes of the world, among others, have been very critical about not just your promotion, but I mean, just kind of the direction of what wrestling is. You know, it's not R-A-S-S-L-I-N to a lot of these guys out there. What do you, what do you say to the critics and things like that that kind of, you know, are very hard about today's style, today's in-ring performance, the things that guys are doing nowadays in wrestling?
So there's kind of like, you know, I'd say like a hot list, maybe five guys who are heavily, heavily critical of the direction the in-ring product is going. And all five of those guys have also asked for jobs. So you don't know, you know.
Can I just guess, Cody? Can I just say, bro? Is bro? You know, with that?
I'm just saying that what's funny about it is you almost think, I almost don't want them to stop their criticizing because they are cultivating and developing their own brand.
Mm-hmm.
They have these brands, and their brands get feedback from pissing off AEW fans, from pissing off new wrestling fans. So it doesn't hurt their brand to say anything about us, good or bad. And I don't want to take any money out of, you know, anyone's pocket. But when you meet them in person, it's kind of disappointing. Because I'd rather you, if you're super critical of our show, if you're super critical of me, if I run into you, I'd rather you not be friendly. I'd rather you tell me to my face. I'd rather us argue out loud than have some fake interaction. And I'd seen that a lot. Like, there were guys who were really critical of my dad as a booker, and then they'd see each other and they'd kiss his ass. And I thought, man, I would have respected you so much more if you just held to that, you know?
Don't break kayfabe. Yeah.
Right? I mean, these guys were so critical. But that's the thing. You don't know in wrestling. That's one of the beautiful things about it, and it's actually a beautiful thing about this negative situation is you never know in wrestling what is real and what isn't, and I never try hard enough to know. You know, I'm just engaged in it. I know we're doing the absolute best we can. We're trying to teach people every which way to do this, but the only right way to do wrestling, and this is what I would say to any of the critics of the current business or proponents. The only right way to do wrestling is wrestling that sells tickets and gets people excited. If they are making noise, your tweet about how this individual did this and you're mad about it does not outweigh thousands of people chanting or coming off their feet. We're going to go with that. We're going to go with that metric and not your tweet, you know, that you put out there 300 times. That's just how I am. And that's how some of the best legends and old timers were. So I'm shocked when I see the criticism, but I don't mind it. It's part of the gig.
AEWtix.com. That's the place to get your tickets for tomorrow night's show. State Farm Arena, 7:30 is the time. AEW Dynamite makes its Atlanta debut. You can follow him on Twitter at Cody Rhodes. He will be in action tomorrow night versus Wardlow in the first ever cage match on AEW. Cody Rhodes joined us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Cody, I can't tell you how much I appreciate the time. Really thank you for being a part of the show tonight. Good luck tomorrow. It's Unforgiving Steel tomorrow. So good luck getting through that, and definitely look forward to catching up with you here down the road.
Yes, thank you so much. Me too.
John Chukri here. We'll be back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.